this you must believe to receive thought. And that's believe unto salvation. If a person is saying they want to be saved, they're saying they want to receive something from Jesus. What do they want to receive from Jesus? Salvation. But in order to get that, you have to believe Jesus. You cannot doubt. You may have heard me say that during the prayer services this week while you were calling on Jesus to remove the doubt from out of your mind. Doubt tries to settle in your mind to distract you away from what it is you're down there doing. When you're calling on the name of Jesus, you're expecting to receive something from the Lord. And the devil doesn't want you to receive anything from Jesus. That's why he'll keep throwing those arrows of doubt in your mind. It's not going to happen. I've been calling the Lord all this time and he hasn't answered yet. That's doubt. And you got to remove doubt out of your mind. If you're expecting to receive something from Jesus. If you notice there on your lesson, I put the word trust. When a person is saying that they trust Jesus or they believe Jesus, it means they're willing to commit their will and their way of living to please Jesus. That means when you trust the Lord, you're saying, I'm willing to commit my will and my way to pleasing Jesus. Not myself, but to pleasing Jesus. And then it says, doing what Jesus would have me to do. Living how Jesus would have me to live. That's what I am doing when I am saying that I believe in Jesus. Now, we're going to go over to the book of Romans and start there this morning. As I said, I'm not going to try to attempt to hold you too long. I just got a couple of more thoughts on this particular lesson. Romans chapter number 10. Now, Romans 10, you hear this quoted all the time from this particular book when preachers are trying to talk about salvation. But they don't really tell you the background of Romans 10. They would have you think that all of Romans 10, the focus of it, is all of humanity, when it is not. Paul, in Romans, the book of Romans, he's writing to the Jews that were in Rome. And in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of this book, he focuses on the past, a 9th. 10th, the present state of the Jews. In the 11th chapter, he focuses on the future state. And if you know anything about the book of Acts, when you looked at Acts chapter number 2, remember when they had asked Peter, what was the meaning of this? After they saw these Galileans speaking in all of these different languages, the marvelous works of Jesus. They said, these folk got to be drunk. And Peter said, these are not drunk like you suppose, but this is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Joel had prophesied that in the latter day that the Lord would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The women and the men would do this. And he says, the same thing can happen to you if you call on the name of Jesus. Joel said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And in the New Testament, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now we know what salvation means. Salvation means to be delivered. Delivered from sin's habit, sin's dominion or its rule, sin's guilt, sin's penalty. And we know the penalty of sin is death. So when someone is saying that they are saved, they've been delivered from sin. And the only way, according to the scripture, you and I can be delivered from sin is through the name of Jesus. There is no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the Jews had rejected Jesus because when Pilate had asked them, who would you that I would release unto you? these two prisoners. He said, Barabbas, who they knew was a thief and a murderer. And they said, here's Jesus, who they could find no fault in. All Jesus did was heal the people and fed them when they was hungry and brought the dead back to life. So that's all they could say about Jesus. But you see what they said out of their mouth, crucify him and let Barabbas be free and crucify Jesus. And Jesus had already told them back in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to set before you a choice, life and death, blessing and cursing. He told them to choose life. Now, what was set before them? Barabbas, who represent murdering and taking away from people. That was the death part. Jesus represents life. He said, I'm going to set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. And he told them to choose life. But what did they do? They chose death. They said, give us Barabbas and let Jesus be crucified. Crucifixion was the ultimate rejection from the human race concerning the Creator. When they said crucify Jesus, they knew that they were saying something that the law had already stated. Cursed is everyone that hangs on that tree. So what were they saying about the Creator? They were saying, we don't want to bless the Creator. We want to curse him, right? That's it. In other words, ultimately reject him. They put him to an open shame. They humiliated Jesus. They mocked him. They wanted to make sure that everyone, all of the main languages that were in the land at that time, knew that the people had rejected Jesus. Here is the King of the Jews. They put it in the Latin. They put it in Greek. They put it in Arabic. They wanted everyone to know that Jesus was being rejected. Right? And then when the day of Pentecost comes, here they think Jesus is still dead. When the day of Pentecost comes, you hear these people magnifying Jesus, glorifying Jesus. They were in that upper room calling on the name of Jesus. And then Peter stands up and begins to preach unto them Jesus. So here they are. They say, hold up, we done rejected Jesus. And here Jesus still working. Isn't that something? That's why I tell you, I don't care whether people want to receive this or not. It doesn't stop Jesus from working. Jesus is still going to do what he is going to do. And it's up to you to get on board or just be a loser, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. So Peter got up and started preaching unto them Jesus. He said, God have made this same Jesus both Lord. Isn't that something? When Peter made that declaration, remember, the only scripture they had was the Old Testament. And when Peter said, God had made that same Jesus both Lord, they knew Psalms 100 said, know ye not that the Lord, he is God. God had made that same Jesus Lord, meaning God and Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Redeemer, the one that Old Testament said would come by and redeem his people. God had made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And what did you do? You crucified him. You rejected him. And when these brothers heard that, scripture said they were pricked in their heart. They said, men and brother, what shall we do? How can we fix this mistake that we made? And that's when Peter laid out the plan of salvation. Peter told them to repent. Turn away from your wicked ways. Stop the wrong. And start doing what is right. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. I don't care what nationality you are. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why must I say the name of Jesus Christ? Because it is for the remission. It is for the removal of sin. And you shall receive, what? The gift. See, now how can they tell them about the gift of the Holy Ghost? How can they talk about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost if they hadn't received it themselves? Only way they were able to tell them that they could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost is because they knew what would happen when you put yourself on one accord and you begin to pray and you begin to beseech Jesus by calling on his name, you will be endued with power from on high. I'm not telling you something that someone told me. I'm telling you something that I experienced for myself. You call on the name of Jesus and he will answer you. He will fill you. That's true. So when you get into the book of Romans, chapter number 10, Paul is still trying to work with these people that still rejected Jesus. They were still, according to Romans 10, still trying to go about establishing their own righteousness. If you look at 10 and 3, what does 10 and 3 say? Ignorant. In other words, they didn't know God's righteousness. God's righteousness is about justification. In other words, that process where Jesus declares the sinner righteous based upon his death, burial, and his resurrection. He said, but that sinner has to do what? Believe. Sinner has to have faith that Jesus did what? Died, was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's when a person has been justified. When a person does what? Believes that. And we know belief is an action word. That's why Mark told them, he that believeth and is what? Baptized. In other words, you got to go down in the water to show that you believe that Jesus died for you, right? That's right. You don't take that baptism lightly. That baptism is to associate you with the death, burial of Jesus Christ and also his resurrection. It's to put you in a position to participate in the resurrection. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're receiving resurrecting power. That's the truth. But as Lord, the resurrection power is to be brought back to life. That which was dead is brought back to life. When you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, he is removing sin from you. But you are dying in that water. And you're saying when you come up out that water, I'm no longer going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm willing to give up myself that I might walk in the what? The newness of life. Do things the way that you would have me to do. I want to live to please you. I want to live to make you happy. That's what you're saying. You go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. You come up out of that water. Walking in the newness of life. And then after you come up out that water, walking in the newness of life, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the Holy Ghost because you're saying, Lord, I want resurrecting power. I want to be able to leave the place of death and enter into the place of life. Don't you realize as long as you're in this body, you're still in the place of death? This body represents death. This body is cursed because of Adam. How do you know it's cursed? Because Jesus said it. He said, from dust you are and dust you're going to return. Your body is cursed. Huh? You walk around idolizing it, beautifying it, but you're not understanding. This thing is cursed. This thing is going back to the dirt. That's why Jesus told you, understand this fact. You came into this world with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. But after you give up out of this body, the scripture says you're going to give up the ghost. And where will you be at, right? Where will your soul be at, right? So Jesus is giving us resurrecting power, giving us a way to get out of this body of death and get into a new body. What kind of a body? A body that's got the ability to do what? Rise up. Isn't that the beautiful thing? When you go up in when you get caught, when the Lord calls us in the rapture, scripture said the dead are going to do what? Rise first. But we which are alive and remain, we're going to be what? Caught up together with them. That's that resurrecting power. In other words, we're going to get out of this place of death into the place of life. And the only way we can do that is we got to have Jesus. You don't have no Jesus, you don't have no resurrecting power. You got to be stuck. You're going to be stuck in this dead body. And you're going to be stuck in this dead body and you're going to have to go through the tribulation. You're going to have to go through the judgment of sin. That's the truth. If you don't let Jesus' death on the cross be your judgment of sin, you're going to have to pay sin's price yourself. Yeah. You say, well, I'm scared of what if I die before the tribulation? The scripture done told you about that rich man. He died before the tribulation. And what happened to him? The scripture said his soul was in torment. Huh? So even if you say, well, the scudder, what if a person dies before the tribulation period and the tribulation is a judgment for sin? Does that mean he escapes the judgment of sin? No. According to the scripture, he goes right into torment, right? He goes right into torment. But what happened about hell and death? Hell and death in the end are going to be cast into the lake of fire. That lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. How long will they be there? Day and night. Forever and forever. So Jesus, that's why I say, you got to make sure you come out of that plan that's so focused on you doing the things you want to do. You don't want to be like Romans 10 and 3. Where you're going about establishing your own righteousness. And you're ignorant to Jesus' righteousness. Huh? That's why I tell folk all the time, when you don't know the right way, you'll go and make it up. That's why you don't want to go through life trying to make it up. You want to do it the way Jesus tells you to do it. Why? Because he has your best interest at heart. He knows how to deliver you from torment. Lord knows how to deliver you from sin's payment. But if you don't let him do it, you're going to have to face it. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Look at 10 and 4. For Christ is the end of the law. Do y'all see that? It's to everyone that does what? That's why 1 and 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that does what? Didn't I tell you? That's why you can't dilute that word belief. In order for you to receive salvation, you must believe it. You've got to believe what Jesus is saying in his word. And your belief just can't be words of mouth. It's got to be backed up by action. Huh? How do you back up your belief by action? Look at that word trust. You got to learn to move your will out the way and lean and depend on Jesus. You need to learn to trust him. Take him at his word. One writer said, don't lean to your own understanding. When I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm saying, Jesus, I don't understand it. I'm going to take you at your word. You said you would deliver me, you would heal me, you would make a way for me. How do you know that? Because this word says that. Therefore, I'm going to trust in his word, right? That's the truth. I'm just leaning, depending on what the Lord say in his word. No matter what man says, no matter what man does, I'm going to trust in Jesus. Huh? Even when things seem difficult, I'm going to trust in Jesus. Why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. You don't know the end from the beginning, but Jesus does. Y'all realize this day, Jesus already knew about it. He already knew about it before you got to it. And all you need to do is go through the day and trust in the Lord. Huh? Don't lean to what? Your own understanding. And understanding is what you're going through right now. Don't lean to your own understanding. Jesus knows what he's doing, even when it don't even seem like it. He already has a path already laid out. All you have to do is just walk in that light. As he is the light, just walk in that light. Don't let your judgment, don't let your view cloud the path. Don't let your way darken the path that is lighted. Huh? Oh, yeah, what you talking about, darken the path? Then the scripture done told you, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto what? See, you got to go around through life not being ashamed of that gospel. And you got to realize who is the one that causes you to be ashamed of Jesus. It's the God of this world. It's the gospel that's got the power to save me. If that gospel is hidden, it's hidden to them that are what? Lost. Whom the God of this world has done what? He's blinded the minds of them, right? He just don't want that light to shine in their hearts, shine in their mind. He wanted to do everything he could do to prevent them from seeing Jesus. That's all he was doing. When they saw Jesus in the place of being examined, they wanted everybody to forget what Jesus had done. They wanted everybody to think that Jesus was on the same level of a convict, Barabbas. Huh? Isn't that something?
They wanted you and I to look at Jesus as though he was on the same level as a convict. Here it is. Jesus is the maker of man. Huh? Come on, this is what you're talking about, humility. He humbled himself. He allowed man to put him on the same level as a convict. How could he do this? Because he knew who he is. God knows he's God Almighty. He says, nobody's got the power to take my life. I lay it down freely, right? Nobody got the power to take Jesus' life. He lays it down freely. He said, the only thing I'm coming to do is to bear witness of truth. And how much truth did man see that day? Man saw just how wicked he could be. Huh? Just how deceitful he could be. Just how two-faced he could be. How are you talking about man could see be two-faced? Here you know Jesus ain't do nothing wrong. And yet you still put him on the same level as a convict? That's why I'm trying to tell you that judicial system that's in this world is not fair. You've got to count after count. People that have been committed have been not guilty, have been coached and coerced and admitting stuff that they knew that they did not do. All because this system is crooked. It's corrupted, right? If it was corrupted in Jesus' day, nothing has changed, right? Nothing has changed. Don't you think everybody in jail is guilty? Huh? I don't think everybody in there is guilty. Some people ain't did none of the stuff. None of the stuff that they're accused of. I'm not telling you that some of them in there don't deserve to be in there, but I'm trying to tell you all of them. Everybody in there don't deserve to be in there. Some of them people ain't did nothing wrong. Huh? All they did was exist. And so somebody could close the case quick. They want to just manipulate the evidence to go along in their favor and promise them stuff that they know that they can't do. But if you sign this admission of guilt, we'll get you out of here real quick. And it's a lie. It's a lie. They know the person that they're trying to get to do that. Some of them can't read. Some of them don't understand anything. But they go ahead and tell them to sign this. Don't worry about reading it. I already read it. Everything's the way it needs to be. And they done signed their whole life away. Elder Scott, that don't seem fair. I'm trying to tell you, sin is not fair. It's a crooked system. But this is what I'm talking about when you go through life trying to establish righteousness on your own way. You're no different than Romans 10:3. You're ignorant of God's righteousness, right? Jesus has a right way to do things. That's why I'm trying to tell you, if you walk up right before Jesus, he will protect you. Even in this crooked system, even when crooks try to come up and frame you, Jesus will work on your behalf. Huh? He will work on your behalf. The Lord, somebody may get locked up wrong, but if they put their mind on Jesus, Jesus some kind of way will work that thing out. Huh? I'm trying to tell you what the Lord will do for you. When you do right, he is a righteous judge. He is a righteous judge. He controls it all. Don't you know the Lord can get in people's minds and make them change? Huh? Oh, yeah, he'll make them change. How you know? I just got to look at Pilate. Pilate was talking all bold. And he was like, don't you know I got the power to do this? And then when the Lord got finished talking to that brother, he said, don't you know I can call down a legion of angels and destroy this whole world? Huh? But to this end was I born, that I might bear witness of the truth. When Pilate got finished talking with Jesus, he said, I find in him no fault at all. In other words, the Lord changed his mind, right? Lord changed his mind. Huh? That's a positive way. But it could work on another way too. Go back and look at Pharaoh. When the Lord got into that brother a hard way. Lord God and that brother, not only care how much judgment Pharaoh saw. Scripture said the Lord hardened his heart. Huh? That's why I tell you, you don't want the Lord to harden your heart. Because that means no matter how hard your life gets, you won't see Jesus as a way out. But you'll end up losing. That brother lost his child because of his hard heart, right? Lost his whole army because of his hard heart. That's why I tell you, you can play around with Jesus if you want to. The Lord can put a hurting on you. You don't want the Lord to harden your heart. There's nothing nobody can do for you if the Lord harden your heart. You just be stubborn. Huh? I don't care what somebody show you the truth. You will be stubborn. In other words, you will be self-willed. That's why you say, Lord, I want to be saved. Make sure your heart is not hardened, right? Lord can't save you with no hard heart. You got to have your heart. Your heart's got to be soft. It's got to be workable, right? It's got to be in the position where the Lord can mold it and make it to what he would have it to be. But when you're so full of yourself, when you're so self-willed, the Lord can't do nothing with you. That's right. That's why that self-righteousness is a hard thing. Huh? When you're trying to talk to somebody and they can't see they're wrong, they're self-righteous, aren't they? And you don't ever want to get like that with Jesus. You want the Lord to, if the Lord show you you're wrong, you want to humble yourself before Jesus and say, yes, Lord Jesus. Amen, Jesus. This is me. Thank you for allowing me to see me, right? Jesus, give me the strength to change, right? Give me the strength to change. Lest my heart get hard. Huh? Your heart get hard, you got a callous. Huh? And that callous brings bitterness and hatred, right? You don't want a hard heart, right? Especially not when it comes to your fellow man. Huh? You don't want to have a hard heart. You want the Lord to remove every root of bitterness. Huh? And envy. Huh? That's the truth. That stuff will take you to the pit. You will go right to the grave with the person you hate. And both of you will be in hell, right? And what good would that do? The Lord done told you, if the blind lead the blind, both of them falling into the ditch, right? You're not helping one another. Come on. Now jump on down to verse number 11. Yes. Isn't that the truth? That's why Paul was able to write Romans 1 and 16. Where he says, I'm not ashamed. Why? Why? He was ashamed at one time. Don't you forget Paul's history. He said, I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Don't you remember when they were stoning Stephen? He was a cheerleader. He was saying, oh no, I see him moving. Throw some more rocks. Kill him. Kill him. Huh? Then he was there to gather his clothes after Stephen was dead. But one thing I know for sure, Paul saw something that he may not have shared with nobody. Huh? What did he see, Elder Scudder? He saw Stephen while the stones were being thrown at him, calling on the name of Jesus. Ah, come on! Stephen was there calling on Jesus. How you know it? Because the word said it. The word said he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, right? Saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That brother was calling on Jesus, even in the face of death. So that lets you know, what do you need to be doing? You need to be calling on the name of Jesus, even when you're facing death. Huh? That's why I cannot get along with you. When you say, Elder Scudder, my body is too hurting, I can't get along with you. Now when you're sitting up there talking about how much pain you are in, I want to know, are you calling on Jesus? You're letting that body of death dictate to you what the Lord done told you he can deliver you from. He said, my name is salvation, right? Jesus. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. You get somewhere and you put your mind on Jesus and call him, he will deliver you from that pain. You don't have to go by what nobody says. Look in the word. How many people had bad experiences that Jesus delivered them folk from that stuff, right? And he done told you he has no respect of person. Huh? He has no respect of person. All you got to do is just what? Believe Jesus. Remove the doubt. And just do what? Believe Jesus. Say, oh, it's hard. Just believe Jesus. That's where you got to fasten your prayer. Like, this is how you know when you're fasting and praying. Because when stuff gets hard, you got to fast. You got to pray. Fasting helps you to deny yourself. It helps you to get out of your self mind, your self will, and start to pay attention to Jesus. It lets you realize the inadequacies of yourself, your inabilities, your shortcomings. In other words, Lord, I can only go so far, but I need your power to take me further, right? That's what fasting does for you, right?
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You down there calling Jesus, 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 and you give up. Oh, I'm tired. That let me know you're not fasting enough. Why? Because if you're fasting, if the Lord will give you your strength, you'll realize it's not your will, but it's the Lord's will. It's not your might, but it's by His might, right? It's by His power you can do these things. Huh? It's by the Lord's power you can do all of these things. Huh? Scripture said that I can do all things through Christ. Huh? He is my what? My strength. That's why you can't talk about how weak you are. The Lord is your strength, right? All you need to do is lean on Him, right? That's all you need to do is just lean on the Lord. Lean not to your what? Own understanding. Just lean on Jesus. I can't make you do it. I can only give you the word. But I'm trying to tell you, if you do it, you'll see the benefit of it, right? Just lean on Jesus, right? Oh, yes, the truth says. Oh, what did that verse say? Y'all said the scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him should not be ashamed. Next verse.
There's no difference.
Uh-huh. This is why I can tell you, when you went down in the water, you had to give up your blackness. You had to give that stuff up. You say, Elder Scott, I'm a black man. You had to give that up. When you went down in the water, you sold yourself to Jesus. You're no longer a Jew nor a Greek, a black nor a white, no more a male or a female. You had to give all of that stuff up. When you went down in the water in the name of Jesus, you became His bride, right? You became His bride. Yeah, you became His bride. You gave up all of that stuff. There is no difference. Is that what the scripture says? There is no difference between the what? The Jew and the Greek. The same Lord. Huh? What is the Lord? He's rich unto all that do what? That's all I'm trying to get down in your mind, is to call on the name of Jesus. Huh? That's what we was doing here all week long. Just simply calling on the name of Jesus. That's what you're going to be doing next week. Calling on the name of Jesus. Get it in your mind. This is what I'm coming in here to do. I'm coming in here to receive the riches that come from the Lord that is over all. He said He is rich unto all that do what? Call on Him. Right? In other words, you need to open up your mouth and call on the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to call on the name of Jesus, right? That name will help you. That name will deliver you. That name will break down all of the hard walls, huh, that have tried to been erected in your life. That name will tear all that stuff down. That name will fix your mind, huh? Yeah, your mind is messed up. I tell y'all all the time, you can tell when your mind is messed up because you struggle and stuff you should not be struggling in. Huh? Somebody go tell you to go do this, you wide open. You 100% into it. But then when somebody tell you to do something to benefit your soul, you can't hardly pay attention. Huh? You can't hardly focus. Something is wrong with your mind. You need the Lord to do what? Deliver your mind, right? That's true. You need the Lord to deliver your mind. Mm-hmm. You need Jesus to step on in and show you His riches. Huh? His riches to all of those that do what? Call on Him. Huh? Verse number 13. He's repeating the message that was preached in Acts chapter number 2. Isn't that something? That's how you know Jesus is God. Because Paul was not there on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching his sermon. Peter said he was preaching from Joel. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But brother Paul was not there. But this is how you know Jesus is God. And that His word does not change. Why? Because here you got Paul preaching the very same thing. The same thing that was preached on the day of Pentecost. That whosoever shall do a call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, right? That's the truth. You call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. Huh? Don't let no devil make you stop calling on the name of Jesus. You call on His name, you shall be saved. Huh? That's the truth. You shall. That thing, in other words, that thing is coming. Huh? But you just got to do your part. What is my part, Elder Scott? You just got to keep on calling Him. Say, Elder Scott, I'm tired. Call Him when you're tired. Huh? Elder Scott, I'm stressed out. Call Him when you're stressed out. Huh? Elder Scott, I'm sick. Call him when you're sick. Huh? Elder Scott, my body is rocking with pain. Call him all in your pain. Why? Because he shall. Huh? Not he might, he shall, right? Meaning he's going to do it, right? All you got to do is do your part. Do what you can do. Huh? No, you can't heal yourself. No, you can't give your body strength. I don't care how long you sleep, how many days you sleep, you're still going to be tired. I don't care how much therapy you go to, how much medicine you take, you still going to have pain in that dead body. That body represents death. Huh? Do y'all understand that? All it is dirt. Huh? All it is dirt. It represents death. But Jesus will save you if you just call on him. Huh? All you got to do is just call him. I mean, call him with everything inside of you. Call him till your mind gets the message. Call him till you're not ashamed. Huh? Oh, yeah, you don't want to be all secret saying Jesus. But you want to let the Lord know, Lord, I believe in the power of your name. That's how I know one day y'all going to, I know when the Lord going to fill you. Because I see how you call him right now. And I know when the Lord really kicked that thing in, I'm going to hear Jesus. I'm here where there's no shame in it. I'm here where there's a confidence that come out of it. Your mouth and your heart going to be on the same accord. You're going to say, Jesus. And I mean, you're going to really mean that thing. When you really mean it, the Lord will come by. And he will save you, right? Lord will come by and he will save you. That's the truth. Come on. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's the dilemma. That's the question. That's the problem right there. How are you going to call on Jesus and you haven't believed in him? In other words, this is what I'm talking about. It's because you say, what does this title of this lesson have to do with anything? How can you receive something from Jesus and you're struggling in your belief? You've got to believe Jesus, right? Right, I said, how shall you call on him in whom you have not believed? Is that what the book says? And how shall you believe on him in whom you have not heard? See, you got to take them plugs out of your ear. You got to remove that sinful deafness. You got to remove that desire to stop hearing boopty bop and listen to the voice of Jesus. You got to stop being 50-50. A little bit here and a little bit there. And you need to make up your mind. Oh, I'm talking about you need to make up your mind that you want to be saved. And I mean live like it. Live like your mind is what? Made up. I got a made up mind that I want to be saved, right? That's the truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. I got a made up mind that I want to be saved, right? I ain't walking shaky.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm serious. I'm so serious. I know the Lord is looking at me everywhere I go. I'm so convicted that I know I touched something that don't make Jesus happy. He got every right to cut my life off, right? That's when your mind is made up. That's when you're serious about your salvation. You realize Jesus is God. Meaning he can do what he wants when he wants. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something made up. This is not hocus pocus. He is the reason why you're able to breathe. He's the one that gives your body the strength to move, right? In him we live, right? We move and we have the I being, right? In other words, he's the reason why I exist. I would have died in my mother's womb if it had not been for Jesus. That's true. World say you retarded. You got a mental problem. But if you got enough sense to open up your mouth and call on the name of Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with your mind. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with your mind. You say, Alice, I can't read. Ain't nothing wrong with your mind. Why? Because you got enough sense to call on the name, right? And honey, that's all you need. He said, whosoever should do what, call him. That means, now that's all you need. You don't need to read a book. You don't need to write no thesis. Huh? You don't need to solve no math problem. All you need to do is know how to say Jesus out of your mouth, right? And do what? Believe him, right? Just believe him when you call on him, right? How should they call on him in whom they have not believed? How should they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear? Huh? That's what I tell you. You can't devalue me. You can't let the devil just make you see me as some man. I heard somebody say that, boy, Elskin ain't no different than me and you. If that's all you see me as, that's fine. That's how they saw Jesus. They looked at Jesus, they said, all he is a man. Man, but you better go touch the hem of the garment of that man. That man reach out to you, you better reach out to him. That let you see he was not just a man, right? Huh? That let you know I'm not just some man. I am the Lord's spokesman. Huh? That's true. You got to value the stuff that come forth from out of my mouth. Huh? It may seem meaningless. It may seem like it's just, oh, he's just talking. You better get it out your thoughts and say, the Lord God himself is speaking to me. And who has he chose to use him. Huh? You got to recognize it's Jesus. You got to know it's Jesus because the Lord will say stuff to you that other scholar don't know nothing about. I don't know what's going on in your life. And I don't care. I don't care to know what's going on in you. I don't need to know it. You don't have to come tell me nothing. All you have to do is just talk to Jesus. And then when you talk to the Lord, listen. Just listen real hard. Because the Lord is going to have his spokesman say something to you. Huh? And the beautiful thing is, you're going to know it's Jesus. You're going to know it's Jesus because you ain't told nobody. Huh? You ain't told nobody about it but just Jesus himself. And here the Lord talks in plain English. Huh? Scripture say, that's what David said, Lord, that you might be clear when you speak. You want the Lord to be clear when he's talking to you, right? David knew that it was not Nathan that was talking. He knew that it was God himself, right? Because Nathan started talking. He said, ain't no way in the world that brother knew this stuff. But who knew? He said, Jesus. David was so, he said, where can I flee from your presence? He said, if I go up high, you're right there. If I go down into hell, you're right there. I go down into caves and hide, so you are right there. I want to tell y'all, Jesus sees everything. He knows everything and he sees everything. All you have to do is just open up your ears and hear him when he speaks. Huh? He will talk to your what? Your heart and your mind. Huh? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Now, the question is, when the Lord is talking to you, what are you going to do with what you hear? Once you hear the Lord speak to you, what are you going to do with that word? Are you going to throw it to the side? Huh? Only you can determine, what are you going to do with that word? I need to deposit it. I need to make a deposit. Huh? You know, sometimes you got a bank that's not convenient. I got a credit union that's really not convenient because I got to go way downtown and pay for parking just to make a simple deposit. So I just don't deposit no money in there. I just let my payroll go into there. But they don't even realize they could have so much more money in their little bank if they just made it convenient. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus, he's very convenient. Huh? All you got to do is deposit that word where? Right in your heart. Don't you take your heart everywhere with you? That heart, I'm talking about your mind. All you got to do is deposit that word right in your mind. Huh? Once you get it, hold on to it. If you got to write it on the wall of your house, just hold on to that word, right? If you got to listen to it over and over again until it sinks down into your brain, do what you got to do. Make some flashcards. If you got to make flashcards, why? Because you need to make sure that that word gets deposited into your mind. And that what David says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not do what sin against thee, right? That's true. Somebody go over to the book of James, chapter number 1 and 22. Read that really quick. This is Jesus' expectation for us with the word. Somebody get John 14 and 15 too. James 1 and 22. In John 14 and 15. Be ye doers of the word, right? Didn't I ask you all that question? What should I do with the word once I hear it? In other words, I need to put it into action. Huh? Be what? A doer of the word. And not just a what? See, devil don't care how much you hear. Just don't do it. You want to know how you got all them spankings that you got when you was a child? Because you heard everything that was said to you, just didn't do it. You did what you wanted to do. You were self-righteous. You say, I don't understand why my brothers and my sisters don't get that much spankings. Because they had something you didn't have, common sense. They knew how to, if I want to avoid a spanking, just do what I'm told to do. Whether you like it or not, just do it. You got to, them good smart kids say, well, I'm going to do whatever make her happy. I'm going to do whatever make him happy. They may not say it because that's fresh. That's being smart. I wish my children would say, I'm going to come up and do what you want. I'm going to just do it because it's just going to make you happy. All right, go right ahead. Let's see how far you get with them lips. Huh? Because you're just being smart. Right? And I don't tolerate freshness. Right? That's why I don't tolerate freshness. You don't tolerate. My daughter came the other day, yesterday, walking down the parking lot because she was with the young folk talking. And I think she thought she was going to talk to me the same way that she talked to them. So I had to, you just give them that eye? And I ain't open up my mouth. I just looked at her. She changed up real quick, didn't you? Huh? Changed up real quick. She said, yes, yes, yes. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure you understood. It's a picnic, but I'm still your daddy. Right? You ain't too big for me to pop you across your lips, right? And that'd be a shame to be grown with fat lips. Right? Right? And it could be what? Avoided if you just do what you're supposed to do, right? Mother reminds hers that are good and grown. Right, don't you? See, my mother got a weapon now. Right? Huh? She got a weapon now. Y'all that are older, you better watch that weapon. You might be walking down and find something on your back. I don't care how grown you think you are. You better fix that face real quick. Oh, my mama, let me shut up real quick. You go on and hit her back. So I can hit her back if I want to. She got, go on and do it. Go on and show just how strong you are. And watch the Almighty God come down on you. Mother won't even have to lift a hand, right? All she got to do is recall in her mind, honor thy mother and thy father, right? Huh? They're thy days, right? Right? Ain't that the truth, saints? Come on, I ain't need to get it off track. But do what the Lord tell you to do. It's just that simple. You hear it, do it. And you'll be blessed in your deeds, right? If you don't do it, you're only lying to yourself. Huh? Instead of hearing truth, you'll be hearing what? Lies. Isn't that something? Scott, what are you talking about? Instead of hearing the truth of the word, you will be just hearing your own voice, which is nothing but a bunch of what? Lies. And what? Deceit. Y'all never heard yourself talk? You never talk to yourself? Yeah, you do. Yeah, everybody do it. I do it. And you got to be very careful when you talk to you. You better make sure you're quoting the Lord's word when you talk to yourself, right? Else you'll be hearing a whole bunch of lies. Huh? It's all right. Oh, yeah, I know it's all right. He did make you feel like, oh, yeah, he sure did. He did say that. I'm going to say this back. Oh, you just lying off to yourself. Ain't no Jesus in it at all. Huh? For you know it, you let your lying self get you into a whole lot of trouble. And then where are those voices? You only hear them. Huh? That's how you know it ain't Jesus. Jesus ain't going to get you in that kind of trouble.
No.
He won't do that to you. All right, what did I say? John 14, 15. What does he tell you to do? If you love me, keep them. Huh? Didn't I tell you to deposit the word in your mind? If you love Jesus, keep his word, right? Let's look at the opposite of this. Matthew 15 and 8. I got two more scriptures after this and I'm done. Matthew 15 and 8. But their heart, meaning their mind, is where? As I tell you, you got to be careful when you're down there calling Jesus. And your mind ain't there. Huh? We had a sister one time before down there calling Jesus. She was worried about a birthday cake. We down there calling Jesus. She literally looked at me in my face and said, "Where's the knife to cut the cake?" And I was to myself, "What the devil are you talking about? We down here calling Jesus and you're worried about a birthday cake? I got the cake in the back." It's true. I'm trying to tell you how you can call Jesus out of your what? Your mouth. But your mind ain't there. And the Lord don't like that. Lord don't like that at all. Go over to Proverbs 4 and 4 and Proverbs 7 and 1. And I'm done. What does the heart need to do? Retain the word, right? And keep his commandments when? So where is life at? In that word, isn't it? Lord gave you that word for you to live by it. He wants that word to be a part of how you live. Somebody say, "Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" Because the Lord's word tells me not to do it. This is how I live, right? Next one. My son, do what? Keep my words. Huh? Come on, keep reading. What you say? Yes. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments. Is that all of that? Yes. Yes. Is that all? What verse is that? I only wanted one, right? I only want that first verse. What's that first verse say again? Yes. You see that? Yeah. That word has got to be deposited inside of you. Yeah. You just can't let that word just run rampant. Right. You got to let that word be deposited inside of your mind. And as it gets deposited inside of you, when you hear the Lord say something, you got to do what? Do it. Right. Yeah. Huh? Right. Lord tell you, say, "Oh, Elder Scudder, today is a fast day. It's the fast day. What do I need to do with that word? Do it." Right. Put the word into action, right? Yeah. Just don't hear it and not do it. Because the Lord says you do that, you're only doing what? Deceiving yourself. You're only deceiving yourself, all right? Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide that word in your heart. You may not sin against Jesus, saints. Make sure. Say, we're doing the calling on Jesus. But are you really doing what? Believing. You got to believe on the Lord when you call on him. You cannot let doubt swim around in your mind. You got to remove what? All of the doubt. Anything that represents doubt has to be removed out of your mind. Right. You know what doubts are? They're questions. Yeah. You got to remove all of them questions out of your mind. You got to say, "Jesus is the answer to all of this stuff." Yeah. Say, I don't have this. I don't have that. Jesus is the answer to all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff. We had one sister, all she could do, she had one skirt. All she had to do was just keep washing the same skirt when she came to church. But she did it faithfully. Because what is she was saying? Jesus is the answer to it. I can't worry about what I do because I don't have 20 skirts to select from. I can't do that because Jesus is the answer to it. All I need to do is just do what the words say. Somebody comes to you and says, "Well, you're wearing the same skirt every day." I'm trying to please Jesus. My life is not my own. I'm trying to please Jesus. Well, you got to wear the same. If you want me to have more skirts, buy me some. I'll gladly receive them. Well, let me go out and see if I can pick them out. Now, I don't need you to pick them out. You let me go pick them out and you just make sure you're there to swipe your card when I'm finished. Because you're not going to pick out what pleases Jesus. You go, that's right. You go, let somebody else go by and they're going to put on you what they want to see. You say, "Oh, no. Say, go buy me some skirts. They'll buy you some, all right. Half of your body will be out. Because they'll be telling you they think you would look good in it. And they lying. They ain't worried about how you look. They worried about you giving them some talking points. But you best believe when you walk down, old as you are, walk down the street with something that short, somebody going to be talking about you. Hey, look at it. Look, I done bought that skirt. Look at it. I was walking down the street. Look at it. You look so nice. They lying to you. Lying to you. You know they lying to you. So you they say that, you make sure you say, well, I'll pick them out because I know what would please Jesus. I'm not trying to please you.